Well, there was a lot of proposed rule changes for the during the NFL owners' meetings and such, and a few of them passed this year. The big one was this one you had talked about the other day, Angel. I think the regular season and postseason roster transaction deadline the same. Change the transaction deadline for Saturday night postseason games to 4 p.m. Eastern on Saturday. Basically, there's no stepping stones. Oh, you got to get it down to this many this week. You got to get it down to this many this week. It's basically you got this date at the end of the preseason. That's good for teams, bad for bubble players, bad for those practice squad type players. So you're going to see that one as a change. Ultimately, good. I mean, because all these teams deal with so many injuries going on throughout the postseason or the preseason and stuff, that they need to have guys that they can bring in so they're not forced to play a lot of their starters. But then when you're cutting it down, because again, you want to play the preseason with your starters, but you don't want to go all out. You want to use the preseason and try it out to experiment and see if you can find diamonds in the rough or just bodies out there. So that's good for the teams, bad for bubble type players. Another one proposed by the Los Angeles Chargers: provide greater clarity as to a player's availability for a game. I'm guessing the game time decision type stuff might not be okay anymore. You got to give us. That's just me speculating. That's just that's the line item on the sheet here, and I would imagine that's part of it. It's more clarity or why they're out.
Well, like I know the NFL, they do. Like on a normal regular season week, they'll put out their injury report for practice, and it's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and it'll tell you the participation if it's full, limited, did not practice.
Yeah, maybe they need
whatever. And then usually on the Friday, that's when you'll get the probable, questionable, doubtful stuff. And then usually if it's probable, it's probably going to happen. If it's questionable, more likely game time decision. It's, hey, let's see him warm up and then see how he feels.
Yeah, I'll be curious to see kind of what all that means, really. If you just get away from the...
There's a lot of times, like, you're hurt. Like, I feel like my ankle's bothering me, but let me warm up for a bit. Okay, I feel fine. I can play.
Another one here proposed by almost all of the teams: establish one preseason roster reduction. Oh, yeah, we talked about that. That was just adding that most of the teams basically second that motion. Here's the rules that didn't get passed. The roughing the passer call. The challenge to the roughing the passer call. Now, we'll get into more of that, but the Rams propose that the penalty be subject to replay, assist, and or reviewable by a coach's challenge, but it was rejected. The most complicated... I think it's obviously more complicated than pass interference now, right? When is a quarterback controversially hit or roughed? That is a hot button item that I think is the most subjective call in the game. Would you agree?
Yeah, I mean, we've seen it, affect games where in any other game, maybe that's not a roughing the passer, or if it's, it's a big time quarterback that just took kind of a late hit, but, he still has the ball in his hands. No, that's roughing. And maybe their proposal was rejected because of the way they worded it, where it's, we want it to be review assisted and be able to challenge it. I think if you just made this rule review assistable, it would pass.
Just add it as a challenge. I mean, don't give your team any more challenges. It's just a challenge.
Like, there's no need to challenge it if it's already going to be looked at by the review people.
But you can't challenge it now, right?
No.
Like, this is my thing with replay. You guys, if you've listened to this show for any amount of time, I don't like replay. I just think it slows the game down. And I actually enjoy the human element. There's going to be screw-ups. There's going to be epic screw-ups. There's going to be legendary screw-ups. That's just part of it. But since we're doing it, you might as well do it right. I don't want you challenging every play. I don't want more challenge flags. I don't want 2 hours deciding whether or not this play stands or is overturned. I don't want any of that stuff. But if you're able to review this, this, and this, you should be able to review this, this, and this. And they tried to review pass interference. Didn't really go over very well. I still don't disagree with adding that in if you just use your challenge flag on it.
What if they did it like the targeting rule in college?
They review the CFE.
Where it's okay, targeting, either the flag is called or not. Or no, it would have to, the flag would be pulled first.
Sometimes they, like,
sometimes they don't. Sometimes they'll just look at it.
In college, they just look at, if they didn't call the penalty, sometimes they'll still look and see if it's targeting.
Or normally it's just a hit, and they'll look at it and say, okay, no, that was actually targeting.
Yeah.
But it's, that penalty is always looked at first. And then if it's confirmed or unconfirmed, you can take away the penalty, or you keep the penalty, but you, the player doesn't get ejected.
I mean, does the player, does the NFL, they don't get ejected now, right?
I don't think so.
But my big thing, I don't want the refs to review it automatically. Like, every, let's say there's six roughing the passer calls in a game. I don't want the refs to just, oh, it's roughing the passer, we automatically have to review it. Like, they automatically have to review a scoring play. I don't want that. But if your quarterback, if a guy hits your quarterback and the defensive end gets called for roughing the passer, and you don't think so, and it's a Clay Matthews-type actual form tackle into the ground, I want to be able to throw a flag. I'm not giving an extra flag. That's on me as a coach to decide if that's worth my challenge flag, but that should be something that's reviewable. I don't think it slows the game down, because if you lose, you don't have the challenge flag again. Don't give them extras, but this is the most controversial call in sports. I wonder what the reasoning for turning it down would be.
Does the NFL not trust its current replay system?
I guess.
To say, yeah, we would want to look at this type of play, but we can't, because we can't even get the simple replays right.
Because,
or the communication takes too long, or we don't know who's going to be making that decision. If it's one ref that saw it, the other side of the field ref didn't see it that way, now you're getting conflicting.
Well, everybody's so confused as to what is roughing the passer.
Right.
And if you can't call it on the field right the first time, then what makes you, you're going to go with your guys. Refs don't like to overturn calls. They don't want to overturn calls, I can't imagine, because they want to be able to work with their officials, their guys, their team, and win one. And so we agree with you. We got your back. I got your back. They don't want to overturn that. And again, roughing the passer is subjective. Interference in some ways, pass interference is somewhat subjective. But roughing the passer, we've seen it now where guys will run into a guy. You and I had a debate about this earlier in the year. A guy looked like he was kind of running into the guy. We've seen a brushing of the face mask is a hand-to-helmet kind of deal. It has to be common sense, and you're right. You probably hit the nail on the head. The NFL doesn't believe they have all of the rules that mess with these referees' brains throughout the game. They're all over the damn place. They don't trust them to get this right, because what's worse than calling a controversial roughing the pass call? Affirming the controversial roughing the pass call.
Well, it's not consistent in how they're doing it. You know, if quarterback throws the ball and then gets hit, that's obvious roughing the passer. If the quarterback
is in the
still
middle of
holds
the
ball, still has it in his hands, or is in the middle of a throw and gets tackled and brought to the ground, depending on how the defender landed on him, or landed, bounced, and rolled off of him, or put his arms out to brace the defender so he doesn't fall completely on it, that can still be roughing the passer. And the thing you mentioned with, like, you glance your face mask. What if you hit, you know, if you hit Josh Allen in the face versus hitting Kyler Murray in the face, there's a difference in
size
where you're hitting.
Sure, yeah. No, I think that's why it should be reviewed, but you don't.
And defenders already have their arms up trying to swat at the ball. Their hands has to come down. If it comes down on Kyler because he's a foot shorter, I can't help that he's that size.
I don't know how you play defense. I mean, there's that. Interference is already really difficult. You know, they're calling, wide receivers are programmed now. If they go up for a pass and they're somehow on the ground somehow, they are looking up at the ref with their arms out. It's like wide receivers are NBA players, essentially. Like, they're looking at the refs hoping for a bailout of a call. That one I don't get. You're just going to, I don't know if it got turned down, but I think it's tabled. I don't know. I read one report that it was rejected and then another report that it was tabled.
Is it a precedent from the pass interference reviews? Like, oh, we screwed that up bad. We can't do that again.
Probably.
Those are the two hardest ones to call, aren't they? That and a catch, I guess.
Well, those are the only two I've seen the NFL make serious discussions about.
But why can you review a catch? You can review where a knee was down. You review every scoring play. There's so many different calls you can review. And again, I'm not saying add more to the replay agenda for the refs, but give coaches more freedom to challenge everything. You're not adding any more challenges. They get two challenges per half. If they use one, they lose a timeout if they don't get it right. Leave all those rules the same, but they should be able to challenge pass interference. They should be able to challenge roughing the passer. Should they be able to? Here it is. Devil's advocate with my own argument. They call holding on you, on your offensive lineman. Should you be able to challenge the penalty? And I probably think you should be able to. But again, it's not adding more that the refs are reviewing. You only get so many challenges. Or you give them freedom to challenge everything, but you only give them one challenge per half.
Well, that's what the XFL does.
You can challenge anything,
but you only have one challenge.
There you go.
And you have to have a timeout to use it.
Isn't that in basketball, too? You get one in the NBA, you get one challenge?
I think so.
Which now they always are. Every player after every play is like, review the play. It's like, dude, it's 2-1 right now. The game's just started. We don't want to review that now. I think that's the way to do it. You get one challenge per half. How about one per half instead of two per half? And then you get to challenge everything.
One per half, and you have to have a timeout.
You can't challenge a missed call, though. You can't challenge, oh, that was holding. No, you can't. I don't agree with that. You can't challenge a no call.
So a coach wouldn't be able to challenge no call on a roughing the passer.
Right. I think so.
Okay.
It's a penalty flag or out of bounds or knee down. If there was a call made of some sort, a referee making the call, he didn't get the first down, it was fourth and inches. The lack thereof of a call shouldn't be able to be challenged. I don't think so. But I think that if there's a penalty thrown, you should be able to challenge it. And if you want to waste your challenge on a false start or an encroachment, that's on you. That you're not going to win. They never really win the spotting of the ball. Like, teams don't win that a lot.
Does that affect the ref's choice to call more penalties?
Just throw it anyway?
No, like calling less. Like, if I call more penalties, there's more of a chance that they're going to be challenged. So maybe if it's, I don't know, that might have been holding, that might not have been no call. Or if say, it's a close game, where we got like 40 seconds till halftime. Maybe it was a hold. If I call it a holding, that coach I know is going to challenge it because he has to use his last challenge of the half. This game needs to go to halftime already. No call.
I don't know if that would impact it. You would hope not. You would hope that doesn't change.
Is that just something they're thinking about? Like, I don't know. That was a pretty close call. Normally, I would call it, but they have a challenge, so we're going to sit and go to review for it.
Every challenge a referee like loses, essentially, it makes them look bad. I mean, it does, because they called a penalty, and if you're challenging it, then it makes you look bad. Here's one from my guy, D-Money. If refs miss 12 men on the field and it goes on a score, you shouldn't be able to challenge? I'm going to say no. Missed calls shouldn't be challenged.
For something that can be proved? I can pull up my Microsoft tablet and show you there's 12 guys right there.
I'm trying not to get overcomplicated here, because I feel like that overcomplicates things. Because then I can challenge a no call on 12 men on the field. But I can also challenge a no call. I should be able to challenge a no call on roughing the passer then.
But if you challenge for something like that and it turns out you don't win that challenge, what is the punishment for it?
You have to play with 10 men on the field.
You just, had to do all this, stopping so we can just count the players.
So maybe increase the punishment of a missed challenge. Give them the ability to challenge everything, non-calls and calls alike, but the punishment. You can only play with 9 players for the rest of the game on the field.
So power play football. I mean, that could probably work.
You have to do something.
If you just take, okay, you got to take a cornerback off the field, or you have to take a wide receiver off. Like, obviously, oh, you can't have your left tackle this play.
You can't throw the next eight plays.
I mean, offense. It's almost gimmicky, but I think you could, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, your cornerback has to sit out this one play.
Yeah.
And so you go, okay, we're going to go five wide.
You have to blitz everybody the next eight plays. All engage 11. And they know it. No, I don't. That's my thing, though. If you're going to have replay, get it right. So, okay, D-Money, I'll give you that. Maybe I'm not set in stone yet. I wasn't at the owners' meeting this year.
I
should go next year.
Complain about the replays.
Then either don't have it or go. I squeaked. Don't have it or have it all. You go all in or you don't do it at all.
What happens when it's a game on the line, Super Bowl, and he might have touched the pylon, but was his knee down? We're not going to look at it. Game over.
Then I'm good with that.
You're good with that.
I'm good with that.
If it was the Broncos.
Yeah. Yep. I've been asked.
Russell Wilson takes a goal line dive to win the Super Bowl and retire.
First off, that's awesome. We made it to the Super Bowl.
I'm trying to get you in the scenario.
That's exciting.
It comes down to whether or not Russell's knee was down before he crossed the plane. We're not going to look at it. Sorry. There goes the Hall of Fame.
But
there goes the second ring.
I'm saying you either do it all or don't do it. Don't do any of it. So give me one or the other. I'd rather know. Back in my day, non-judgment, no calls, in my opinion, should be allowed to be challenged. And maybe I change a little bit on that. I need all or nothing here. Because why are you able to challenge certain plays, but the other ones, oh, no, they're sacred. Those are sacred calls by the NFL sky judge. You cannot throw the red flag. Why? Because it says it.
Well, I think like
in the book
stuff like
we wrote.
False starts and offsides, that's pretty yes or no right there. Like, oh, you moved early? That's a false start. You're over the line? You can't do that. I have video evidence that you were doing this.
If you want to waste your challenge flag on that, great. You're going to be punished somehow. You lose a timeout. That's a pretty good punishment. Or you get a 5-yard penalty. You lose a challenge, 5-yard penalty. That's going to be pretty harsh. But you got
something.
You want coaches to feel confident.
5-yard
about
penalty,
throwing a
but
flag.
No change of down.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you got 5 yards, but we're not going to give them the first down. It's still, you know, third and two or whatever.
I'm good with that. I just, again, if you're the two most controversial plays, I would say a catch is certainly one of them. But if there's, let's just say three, there's three of them in my mind. Roughing the passer, pass interference, and is it a catch or not? Those are the three most subjective kind of controversial plays. Those should be reviewed. But if you're going to review roughing the passer, you should be able to review holding. You should be able to review late hit, which they do review, don't they? Late hit out of bounds, don't they review that? Yeah, they do. They do review that one. Because didn't that happen in the Kansas City game? Didn't they review that? I can't remember. Wow. Blanking out on that one.
I don't. It would have to be, obviously, a flag called on that play.
And then you can review whether that was really unnecessary. I think you can on that one. Check the thing. It overcomplicates things here. Like, in the NBA, I watch a game. I don't know. They sometimes challenge out of bounds. Sometimes they don't. College basketball, they sometimes challenge. Sometimes they don't. It's just whenever, you know, and again, NBA coaches, you can't challenge within the, what, two minute mark? I get that. But that's like the most crucial portion of the game, and you can't challenge. And that's the NFL too, isn't it? 2 minutes? The most crucial parts of games, closest, or the tightest of tight, crucial plays are happening, and you can't review them? It's bizarre to me. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. It's 25 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Let's talk about the Basketball Hall of Fame coming up. And why in the world does the NBA just not have a Basketball Hall of Fame? Like their own Hall of Fame. Let's take a short break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Want to hear from the coach? Listen to Coach Speak, weekdays 10 to 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Jerry Schimmel, voice of the UNC Bears and host of Amazing Americans, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Cables Pub and Grill does it right every single day of the week on Wednesdays. $3 pints under $8 for a personal pizza with up to three toppings. That's Cables Pub and Grill. I was there on Friday, had some boneless wings there. Absolutely delicious, great beer. It's where my friends meet, man. It's a place to go. Cables Pub and Grill. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. More on some of these rule changes. The competition committee proposed this, actually, to move touchbacks on punts from the 20-yard line to the 25. That's rejected.
It's dumb.
If they ain't broke, don't fix it. That's fine where it is.
Why are they different?
Don't know. I mean, why bring it up? That one's silly. The Eagles proposed for a team to be able to maintain possession of the ball after scoring by converting a 4th and 20. They said no.
4th and 20 is a lot.
They tabled that, though, because it's kind of the XFL thing, though.
Bring it to 4th and 15. I think it works.
They tabled it, so it means they're kind of interested. So I don't know what would change. I mean, onside kicks, we never see recoveries, hardly. I mean, it rarely. What is the percentage? It rarely happens.
Percentage of kickoff returns,
very low. So that I'm still not, but I don't know about it. It seems gimmicky to me. But I also thought, you know, if you go for two, you're up closer to the goal line. I thought moving the field goal back to or the extra point back was a little weird, but it's worked out. That's worked out pretty good. There was another one. Proposal to make fair catches on kickoffs inside the 25-yard line result in a touchback. And the Detroit Lions proposal to allow for an emergency third quarterback to be active. So apparently they're not allowing an emergency third quarterback to be active. But you can carry three quarterbacks on your team, right?
You can.
But basically,
but you don't really want to.
Are the Lions saying you have a 54th man on the roster, though? Like there's an emergency third quarterback? So you don't get into the situation we saw San Francisco and the Broncos during COVID?
Yeah, and maybe it's, you know, a one-time use emergency quarterback. Because, like, with the Dolphins, if you have your top two guys, your starter's out, your backup gets hurt on the first play, now you're playing your third-string guy who has never, you know, stepped on the field yet. Would you rather have, you know, Skylar Thompson or, you know, Baker Mayfield or something?
But I remember it was a big deal with, like, Mike Shanahan. He just didn't carry three quarterbacks. He always just had two. He was kind of one of the guys that started doing that.
Well, okay, back to the Dolphins in their playoff game when they didn't have Tua or Bridgewater. Then you would want to use your emergency because I don't want to start my seventh-round rookie in a playoff game. I'd rather go get any free agent that's out there.
My question is, like, are the Lions proposing a 54th man on the roster come Sunday? Like, you have, unless you carry three quarterbacks, like, you have an emergency backup that's just always there on the roster and you're just allowed to do that?
Well, I don't.
Because you can carry three quarterbacks.
Yes, but I think this emergency guy wouldn't count towards that roster.
Okay, so he'd be just an extra guy.
It's just an extra body that you break glass in case of emergency.
And again, why not?
Money.
We're just stuck in our ways. 50,
it's how much do it's I pay this guy? 50, do I pay him per snap? Do I pay him per play, per second? Yeah.
It's got to be 53.
Does he get a game check? Is he on salary? Is he on a contract?
I mean, you pay him if he plays.
He's got to take a physical the week before so he can do all that. If he doesn't pass a physical, then what does he do? You know.
I don't know. It just seems like in this day, player safety, you're not going to allow an emergency third quarterback to be active. You're making them play an extra Thursday night game now. You've already added another game.
I think the only way that would pass.
You won't review roughing the passer calls.
The only way that an emergency third would pass is if you mandated you can only have two quarterbacks on your roster. Then it's everyone has a third in case of emergency. but you can only have two on your active roster.
That I always thought you could have three.
Well, I'm saying that would be the
okay.
Yeah. The way this rule would work if it were to pass. You only get two, but everyone has an emergency backup.
Dixon says on the 4th and 15 thing, if you have defensive holding for a 5-yard penalty and automatic first down, does that count as converting?
I don't think so.
Then it'd be 4th and 10, right? You just treat it like a 4th and 15.
From what I've seen the XFL do, I don't think I've seen a penalty. I don't think they've done it more than a couple of times.
Don't do automatic first downs.
Yeah, it wouldn't be an automatic first down.
On this, it's so unique. You don't do automatic. But if it's pass interference down the floor. Defensive holding is one thing. But if you just, as a corner, you know they're not going to get an automatic first. You just blow a guy up. He beat you by 9 yards. So you blow a guy up knowing they're not going to get an extra or an automatic first down. It's going to be, instead of 4th and 15, it's 4th and 6 or whatever. I mean, that's a tough one. That's a tough one. You can't give them an automatic first down, can you? That's when we get into the territory here, though. It's gimmicky. Because that 4th and 15 should probably be treated like nothing else has been treated the rest of the game. It's like shootouts in hockey. You don't play this way at all throughout the course of the game, but we're going to... Can't get past overtime, so we're going to go into a shootout. Something way different than what the game is. Let's go there. So in this case, if you choose not to kick it, you can take it and go 4th and 15 from your own, what is it, your own 25? But then it gets gimmicky. And if there is a holding call, well, if it would have been a regular 4th and 15, but because it was 4th and 15 when you chose to do that instead of kick it, it's not an automatic. It's just a 5-yard. It's just a 5-yard penalty.
Yeah. So the XFL does not have anything relating to penalties on a 4th and 15 conversion.
So they just not call penalties?
I don't know. I think they've only run it like twice.
Yeah.
This season.
And it didn't. There was no penalties on it.
No.
I would say if you do this, it's already gimmicky, and I don't like it.
But if it's an aspect of the game and that you are running an actual play as a 4th and 15,
then I think you treat it like an actual play. If it's pass interference, it's an automatic first down. If it's defensive holding, it's an automatic first down.
Then what if we changed PI penalty to 15 yards?
Isn't that what college is 15? I've always hated that because guy goes 20 yards and. Corner. If I'm a corner and he's beat you deep and the ball's about to go tackle him if you can, it's only going to be 15 yards. Better scoring a touchdown. It's better than getting the ball in the one.
Same thing. The guy ran 40 yards downfield and I hit him. He didn't catch it, but now the ball's at their 20. I think it goes both ways. I think 15 is, it's going to be 15. Not, hey, just run deep and try to make contact with your defender and I'll just throw it that way and you'll get a call.
I don't know, because if I'm a corner... And it's, let's say you're on your 25, your own 25, and your receiver beat me deep, and he's just going fly route all the way to the end zone, and he's two steps ahead of me. I'm just going to run into him. As soon as he looks up to catch that ball and has to slow down that slight inst, I'm gonna bust him.
Right.
Because that's better than giving up. That's better than putting him on the 5-yard line is where I hit him.
Rather than now
they're on the 40.
Right.
I don't know.
Just get rid of penalties.
Yeah, let's just get rid of penalties, man. Let's just go no penalties.
Let's get back to real men football. Let them hit each other.
You get it. Go. You got to review roughing the passer, though.
No, he's there. They can stand in there and take a hit.
It's got to be. But then probably,
it's football. You're supposed to get hit.
They want to protect the quarterback so much that even if they watch it and go, yeah, it probably wasn't, they're not going to overturn it. Because they are all about protecting the quarterback. They want the quarterback upright and throwing the ball down the field. 38 minutes after the hour, let's jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Miles Blumhardt, sports editor at the Fort Collins Coloradoan, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Well, Welcome back into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. We're here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Our tight-knit brewing poll question of the day, just name a player that wore the number zero. Did you know Carmelo had the number zero for a moment, but it was just for a bit when he wore a zero? I don't what year, because he wore seven when he was with the Knicks. He wore 15 when he was with the Nuggets for the most part. When did he wear zero? Somebody messaged me that.
He wore it in Portland.
Was that before? Did Damian switch his number? We got stuff going on. Did Lillard used to be seven? That's a weird one to me.
Damian's always been zero.
When did Melo wear zero?
Melo wore double zero.
Oh, doubles. That's how they get you. Gilbert Arenas, that's kind of one of the more popular basketball players that wore number zero. He was a hell of a player. Three-time All-Star. That looks weird. It looks weirder on a Blazer jersey, too, looking at Melo. Huh. See,
zero and double zero.
I knew he wore seven, and I knew he wore 15. I completely forgot about that. Football player, apparently they used to allow zeros back in the day.
Double zeros.
Jim Otto wore double zero. Who else? Kevin Love. Oh, well, that makes sense. Like tennis? Love?
I never got that.
Is that what that is?
Wow.
You think? You think that's why he did it? What a genius.
Smart guy.
Kevin Love is a genius.
He really is. I mean, he got that contract from Cleveland and just kind of coasted.
Oh, man. He got paid, dude.
Got paid, got hurt, got a couple of rings.
Sean Marion played for the Mavs quite a bit. Don Baylor. Don Baylor is as a manager, I guess, huh? And when he played in his career, too, he wore zero? Well, there you go. Of Don Baylor. DeMarcus Cousins wore zero. We already got the Bibby thing. Andre Drummond, zero. Anybody else out there? I mean, getting some good stuff on Twitter. Some messages coming in. Brian Wilson, Dodger, the beard guy, the big old bearded dude. I don't know. I'm running out of people that wore zero. I forgot about Adam Ottavino wearing zero too. I'm bad with numbers now. I'm even worse with Rockies players. Nick Young wore zero. A Laker. That's about it. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. But yeah, now in the NFL, anybody can wear number zero. Kevin Duckworth was a double zero for the Portland Trail Blazers. There you go. It's a thing now. That was the big rule change. We can't review roughing the passer, but you know what? Our attention needs to be focused on letting players wear the number zero.
Jamichael Green with the Nuggets
was zero.
Was zero.
How about that? Is he wearing zero now?
I don't think he's playing anymore.
I thought he was playing for the Warriors. Is he hurt? Warriors have had some injury issues there. I thought he was playing for Golden State.
Yeah, he's active.
He's not playing a lot, though, is he? Coming off the bench. He's like not even I don't know if he's really in the rotation anymore.
Oh, he's getting about 10, 12 minutes.
Oh, well, good for him. Dude, what a weird game last night. Because I was thinking about you, as I often do.
Again?
And watching Golden State and the Pelicans, and Golden State just looks awful in the first half.
Don't say that.
Just terrible. Turnover, out of control. I mean, and then Draymond Green. Draymond Green does his thing. He gets a tech, his 17th. He's in a scrum. He got his team going after that. He's pumped up. He's like, let's freaking go. Like, he was so jazzed. Like, you could see him. His body was like vibrating. He's getting ready to defend the guy. He's talking trash. Kerr has to pull him out. They're out of bounds still. Kerr pulls him out. And Draymond's like, what the hell, man? No, Kerr's like, dude, you're on the edge. That's great. You got the team riled up here, but you're on the edge. Comes out. The team responds. Draymond then collects himself the rest of the way. They had 14 turnovers leading up to his tech, and then they calmed down. They were trailing by 19, all that. This is where I like Draymond Green, and I think Steve Kerr has done a fairly good job of kind of harnessing him when he has to. He knows when I need to let him go. He does light a fire under this team. But I'm telling you, you were right in the first half, talking about Golden State not being a concern. And then you see what they do in the second half. Like, Jordan Poole can be lethal, but he can also try to dribble between three guys and lose the ball and turn it over left and right. Since he's been demoted as a, you know, not a starter, he's coming off the bench, that's hurt him in his confidence level. But that's a team right there that I don't know. You know, once is Wiggins going to come back? I'm not sure. But once you can get your pieces back, are they lethal? And is playing them in the first round the best option? Because that's the thing. I think if Golden State can survive the first round, that's when they're going to be terrifying. 1:48 the time. What did we learn today? Coming up on the other side, you're listening to The Whole Show. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
It's baseball season, and the Colorado Rockies can be heard on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Joel Cantalamessa from RamNation.com. You're listening to The Hull Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
What do you say? We all had a special day. Now turn to a friend and say what you learned today.
I just imagine the hooligans turning to a friend. What'd you learn today? We learned that apparently the number zero is more important than reviewing roughing the passer. That jersey numbers for players to keep them happy is more important than the most controversial call maybe in all of sports, roughing the passer. More so than was it a ball or a strike, in my mind. That's what I learned. That's the NFL. And the safety, to preaching safety. Let's not review plays that, you know, can affect safety. Let's add more Thursday night games right after we just added another game to the schedule. So the NFL says they care about safety, but every year, Angel, they do something a little bit opposite, counterintuitive of that, I suppose. So that's what I learned. What'd you learn today?
I learned that, you know, college sports is really, we might be in the last good days of it.
Oh, yeah, it's depressing.
It is. With the way NIL has been, with, you know, we're seeing, you know, Bronny James, I get he's LeBron James' son, but he hasn't even picked a school yet, and he's making this much money.
He's making more than anybody else.
You know, I see stuff getting hyped about CU. Why? Because he's going to be there for a year, probably only 6 months, and then he's going to be gone. So, you know, it's frustrating. You hope these players are understanding it and educating themselves on what the, you know, what path they're going to take and what kind of obstacles are going to be there. There's going to be obstacles either way because it's life. So you take the cards that you're dealt and you play your hand.
Yeah. And I'm so beat up on this too, because we talk about why they should, reasons they should be able to and all that. But then when you see this NIL list come out, it's just, it's crazy. And now you're going to get
like
guys.
Arch Manning hasn't even stepped foot in Austin yet.
Yeah. You're going to get guys going, oh, I want that. And it's like, you're not going to get that. First off, you're not at the right school. Second, they don't have it. Third, your name doesn't rhyme with Anning or Ames. It's not everybody's going to get it. Now, I believe in free market. I do. I believe in that. That's part of what I liked about the NIL. If I'm a business and I want to put my money behind a swimmer, then I can. But if I don't give me crap. This is the sport I believe would be a return on investment. Mark was on earlier with us saying he doesn't think these businesses are seeing a return on investment. I think some of them do. I mean, we work with businesses that are very pleased with the radio programs that we do. But again, when you're spending millions, you better see something big time. It's a depressing thought, but who knows what it's going to be. I mean, at some point, my crazy idea of saying scholarship or earner, what do you want? Because if you get a scholarship, You can't make any money. But if you don't take the scholarship, we pay you to play, and you can do NIL stuff till your heart's content. But we're not using up a scholarship. And I don't even know how you begin to work with that.
Well, your spot's not guaranteed on this team.
Yeah.
You make money, but you could be gone tomorrow.
Yeah, if we're not liking the attitude and all that stuff, we're going to Jeff Linder your butt. You'll be out of here. 155 the time. That'll do it for us. We'll be back at it tomorrow. We'll get into, we got a big Avs game tonight going up against the Wild. Gabriel Landeskog not playing, but he's been skating more and more with this team. So good things on the horizon. We'll be back at it on Thursday. Good night, Northern Colorado.